Good morning. This is Isaiah, lesson 14, chapters 36, 37, 38, 39. It is the historical narrative. To begin this commentary, I would like to review the breakdown of the book of Isaiah. In doing so, we can see how these chapters 36 through 39 work as a bridge from first Isaiah to second Isaiah. The book of Isaiah is broken down into three groups: 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Isaiah. Scripture scholars believe that Isaiah authored the first 39 chapters of the book. The author of chapters 40 through 55 is an author that scholars refer to as Deutero-Isaiah, who wrote these chapters at the end of the Babylonian exile. 3rd Isaiah, chapters 56 through 66, is believed to have been written by Isaiah's disciples, but are referred to as Treto-Isaiah. These chapters take place after the Jews returned to Jerusalem under King Cyrus of Persia. So again, 1st Isaiah is chapters 1 through 39, 2nd Isaiah is chapters 40 through 55, and 3rd Isaiah is 56 through 66. So we've gone through Isaiah 1 through 35 and worked through lessons on God's judgment, mercy, and redemption, especially through the promise of the coming of the Messiah. The four last chapters of 1st Isaiah are, in a way, standalone chapters, since they take on more of a historical perspective of what's going on during Isaiah's service as a prophet. These chapters can be broken down in this way. Chapters 36 and 37 focus on King Sennacherib of Assyria and his invasion of Judah, as well as God's deliverance. Chapter 38 focuses on the illness and recovery of King Hezekiah of Judah. And chapter 39 focuses on the visit of King Merodach-Baladan, Babylonian embassy, to Jerusalem. Historical review of the men concerned in these events are as follows. Sennacherib ruled Assyria from 705 to 681 BC. Based on Assyrian records, the siege of Jerusalem took place in 701 BC. Hezekiah ruled Judah either from 727 to 698 BC or 715 to 686 BC. The former dates are determined by information from 2 Kings 18:1, while the latter dates are derived from the information from 2 Kings 18:13, as well as Isaiah 36, verse 1, and the Assyrian Annals of Sennacherib. Merodach-Baladan revolted against the Assyrians and became king of Babylon from 721 to 710 BC, when he was driven into exile by the Assyrians. He became the Babylonian king once again in 703 BC and was killed that same year. Many parts of Isaiah chapters 36 through 39 are found verbatim in 2 Kings chapter 18 through 20. As we look at chapter 36, we hear of Sennacherib and his invasion. Sennacherib was the son of King Sargon II of Assyria. King Sargon II was the king who completed the conquest of the northern kingdom of Israel and deported its citizens into Assyrian lands to the east. Sennacherib ruled the Assyrian Empire from 705 to 681 BC, and the chief concern of his reign was the continued resistance of the Babylonians to Assyrian rule, which culminated in the complete destruction of the city of Babylon in 689 BC. He carried out military campaigns against the nation of Judah, against other nations in the Levant, against the kingdoms of Anatolia, and against the Arabs. He was also known as a builder, and it was during his reign that Assyrian art and culture reached its peak. Hezekiah was 25 years old when his father, King Ahaz, died, and he became the sole ruler of Judah. When Sargon II died and his son Sennacherib succeeded him in 705, a number of Assyrian servant kingdoms revolted and declared their independence, including the kingdom of Judah. It was Hezekiah's revolt against the Assyrians that brought about the Assyrian army's invasion of Judah. Chapter 36 is mostly a conversation between Assyria and Judah. This conversation was Assyria's attempt at trying to sway the people of Judah to give up by threatening them and calling into question the faithfulness of their God, Yahweh. The year of the Assyrian invasion of Judah was 701 BC. Isaiah's chapters 36:1 through 38:8 contain a near verbatim repeat of the narrative found in 2 Kings 18:13 through chapter 20:11. According to the Assyrian records, the imperial Assyrian forces captured 46 Judean towns. The most important fortified Judahite town was Lachish. Sennacherib took the city in 701 BC and set up his headquarters there. When Sennacherib took Lachish, about 25 miles southwest of Jerusalem, Hezekiah sent a letter repenting his rebellion together with a large amount of tribute to the Assyrian king, hoping to appease Sennacherib and to save the nation of Judah. Unfortunately, Hezekiah's tribute and his repentance did not appease Sennacherib. A more complete history of Hezekiah's reign, including his many religious reforms, is found in 2 Chronicles 29, verses 1 through chapter 32-33. As we move into chapter 37, we hear of Hezekiah's repentance, and he turns to Isaiah for guidance. The Lord, through Isaiah, speaks words of comfort and promises that Jerusalem will be delivered. We also hear that the demise of King Sennacherib due to his assaults on the one true God, Yahweh. This chapter ends with King Hezekiah's hymn of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. Chapter 38 focuses on Hezekiah's illness and cure. Biblical scholars suggest that this episode took place before Sennacherib's siege of Jerusalem in 701 BC. The date proposed for this episode is 703 BC. Hezekiah was ill. Isaiah brought him Yahweh's message that he was not going to recover, that he was actually going to die. And after Isaiah left, Hezekiah offered his prayer to Yahweh. We can glean from 2 Kings 20, 4 through 5, the following information of what happened. Isaiah had not left the middle court before the word of Yahweh came to him. Go back and say to Hezekiah, prince of my people, Yahweh, the God of your ancestor David, says this, I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I shall cure you. In 3 days' time, you'll go up to the temple of Yahweh. Isaiah was either returning to the temple and had only reached the middle court of the palace when God sent him back to the king with the news that his life would be spared. The key element of this chapter to me is that King Hezekiah did not pray for healing, but that God would remember his faithfulness and then submitted himself to God's will. God sent word to Hezekiah that his life would be spared for 15 years for the sake of God's covenant with David. And in 3 days, he would be well enough to attend temple liturgy. And here's an interesting fact. At the time of Hezekiah's illness, he had not produced an heir to the throne. Yahweh promised King David that his lineage and his throne would endure forever, and therefore God had the promise of a covenant commitment to preserve the lives of the Davidic heirs. Hezekiah's life was extended for 15 years, and his son Manasseh was only 12 years old when he became king. Therefore, at the time of Hezekiah's illness, he did not have a living male heir. Manasseh was born during those 15 years of extended life. We hear Hezekiah, his canticle of thanksgiving. Hezekiah wrote a poem of thanksgiving after his recovery, and Isaiah included it in his book. We can find this in chapter 38, 7 through 20. The poem can be divided into two sections. Hezekiah's thoughts concerning his anguish over the Lord's decree that he would die, and then Hezekiah's reflection on the grace God has extended to him and the lessons he learned through his anguish. In chapter 39, we hear of the king of Babylonia, Merodach-Baladan sending a letter to Hezekiah congratulating him on his recovery from his illness. Most scholars believe this event happened prior to Sennacherib's siege of Jerusalem as well. Babylonian ambassadors arrived with a letter from King Merodach-Baladan and a gift. Merodach-Baladan was also in rebellion against the Assyrians and may have been seeking an alliance with Judah. He ruled as king of Babylon from 721 to 710 before being deposed by the Assyrians. When Sargon II died and Sennacherib assumed the throne of Assyria in 705, King Merodach-Baladan led another successful revolt and was king of Babylonia again in 703. This may be the year of his ambassador's visit. Hezekiah was flattered by the attention of the Babylonian king and was so intent on impressing his visitors that he foolishly showed them all his nation's treasures. The prophet Isaiah was none too happy about this and said so by confronting Hezekiah with the words of prophecy, that someday Babylon will become the dominant regional power, and when it does, it will remember all the riches of Judah. And number two, they will return, and some of Hezekiah's own descendants will pay the price of exile to Babylon. Hezekiah's response was interesting. He was just grateful that God would delay the Babylonian conquest until after his death. Actually, God did delay the Babylonian conquest for over a century. So these chapters may seem out of order, but what it does is set up the next part of Isaiah. In the coming chapters, 40 through 55 of 2 Isaiah, we pick up the story near the end of the Babylonian exile. We will hear of the hope and consolation of salvation for the people of Israel that are exiled. Though these chapters speak to much of the history of the people of God, there is a focus on King Hezekiah and his faithfulness. He was penitent and he prayed prayers of thanksgiving. In times of illness and possible death, he bowed to God's will. This is a lesson for all of us. No matter what we face, faithfulness in God and God alone will give us strength. With that, God's mercy will help us endure.